Good to be back. Good to see the door was open, the lock and the key worked. You haven't locked me out. Great, fantastic. I want to talk to you today about digging the wells, or redigging the wells, more specifically, I guess. Because the Bible has good news for all those who are dry, who are weary, who are desperate, those in need of provision. And wells talk about all of those things. For all who long for a move of the Holy Spirit, the wells talk about that anointing that God brings. Spring up, O well, within my soul, the song used to sing. Right here, right now, under our feet, there is a fountain, a spring of life, a spring of water ready to burst forth. And you might think, what in blazes are you doing talking about water and fountains, given the fact that we've had this much rain? Well, I don't know, but I think God's on it. Let me tell you a story. You might find this hard to believe, but 3 or 4 weeks ago, Jane and I found ourselves out in White Cliffs, 100 and something k's north of Wilcannia. Dry as a dog biscuit. Absolutely as dry as a dog biscuit. Not a skerrick of rain. Hadn't been a skerrick of rain for a long time. They've got no groundwater. 40 feet down, there's an ironstone band. There's no water in it. There's no water under it. So they rely heavily on whatever rain falls in the hills a fair way away, and that is channeled down through old riverbeds and whatever for their water supply. And then whatever water supply they can catch off the roofs of their dugouts or whatever it is, they practically bottle the stuff. It's that precious. So we're out there and we're talking to a couple of people that had took us around on a tour and to look at the whole setup. And we asked, where do you get your water from? And they told us the story of the rain comes to the hills once every blue moon, and they survive on sort of 200 mils of rain a year if they're lucky. And so water is precious, absolutely precious. And so on the Wednesday or Thursday of that week, Jane and I were leaving town. We pulled up at the general store, and there's only one store, and that's the general store, and they sell everything from, from whatever. That's it. Petrol, diesel, food, whatever it is, it's all there. And so we fueled up, and Jane went in to pay for the fuel while I was mucking around with the bus, just finishing up. Anyway, she spoke to the lady behind the counter, and the guy who had taken us on the tour was there, and she said to them, I hope you really get rain soon. It looks, it's really dry out here. And we're driving out of town, and we're talking about it, and we stopped and said, God, send your rain. And we prayed over White Cliffs. Now this is, I know it's 3 or 4 weeks down the track, but imagine that there hadn't been rain for a long, long time. Lord, send your rain. The following Tuesday, the skies opened up over White Cliffs. 45 millimetres of rain fell in town and flooded the general store. 65 millimetres fell in the hills and filled their dam. And on Thursday, I just happened to be listening to the ABC News, and here's that very same woman being interviewed on the ABC about the rain that fell in White Cliffs. And I said to Jane, wow, what an opportunity. She said, yeah, I'm really sorry I didn't say we were praying for rain. I said, it's not too late. She'd remember you. She said, I said, no worries. General store, White Cliffs, found the number and called it. I mean, you can't go wrong, there's only one store. The phone rings, that woman answered it, and I handed the phone to Jane, as you do, encouraging the gift. I handed the phone to Jane and she spoke to us. You may remember us, we were there last week, we got fuel, we talked about rain coming and hope you get rain soon. Yeah. And she said, well, we're Christians, and on the way out of town, we prayed for rain to come. And she said, yeah, I know, the store flooded. And she said, yeah, we heard you on the radio. And you know, we prayed for rain, and if you'll pardon this. That bloody well worked, she said. I tell you, she will never forget that. I don't know if we'll ever be invited back to White Cliffs because we flooded the joint, or next drought we'll be out there with bells on. But right people in the right place at the right time, and God used it. Now, I haven't been able to turn the sun back yet, but I'm claiming by faith that we had a part to play in that. Because I believe that we are light and we are salt, and that we can bring life with our words wherever we go. That's a fantastic story. Because out there, water is life. Absolutely, water is life. That little graveyard in the middle of town is filled with graves of people who starved or thirsted to death in the early days, in the pioneer days, because they had nothing and no way of catching or maintaining or keeping water or food or anything else. Water is life, not just to the person drinking it, but to the whole community. And it's the same in this place this morning. The water that God gives us is life. It's not just for you, as someone absolutely spoke about this morning. I think it was Elizabeth said, you know, the words aren't just for you. Light's not just for you. It's for everyone around you. There is a river whose streams make glad the people and the city of God. Can you imagine that? I imagine myself nowadays when we pray for people, when I pray for people. I imagine that there's a river in this third heaven realm coming from the throne of grace. By the way, the third heaven realm is not that far away. Even I can reach it. And I'm short. Stephen should have no problem. There's a river. And when I'm praying for someone, I reach up into that river and I'm bringing that water of life. I'm speaking that water. I'm imagining, in my sanctified imagination, I'm going to call it that because I think God's on it. My sanctified imagination, I imagine reaching up into this river of life and pulling down and handfuls and bucket loads of this water of life that comes on and is accessible for us. And wells, when we talk about wells, which is what I want to talk about, wells represent supply. Wells represent provision to those around about us. When Israel travelled through the places of where God had miraculously, you know, called them, one of the things they'd look for is places to dig wells where they could supply their family first, but also their livestock and their tribe around them. God's people recognised that he was the one who supplied. All they had to do was dig a well to get it. Wells represent that opportunity. Wells may appear small in size, but they're connected to a vast supply of water. Amen. And today, I want you to know that our Father has already made that river available to us. We may only be able to reach up or reach down, you know, with a well that's not real big at all. But in that, we're reaching into a vast supply of God's grace, a vast supply of God's life, a vast supply, a never-ending, ongoing supply of life for those around about us. I think God's talking to us and revealing to us new wells. And when we've heard it preached in other ways, you know, like new wine, new wineskins. We've heard it preached in life and light coming. And today it's wells and rivers and life. And I think God's trying to get us to understand that there's a message there. All we've got to do is reach into it, whatever it looks like, and reach into the things of God. Wells speak of encounters with God, grace encounters, worship encounters, where we touch God and God touches us. When Isaac arrived at Beersheba, meaning the well of the oath, the first thing he did was build an altar. He dug a well and pitched his tent, and there he worshipped God, and he acknowledged that God was the source of his supply. And you're giving honour to him when you worship, when you yield your heart to him. You're positioning your well, in fact. You're positioning your well in that source. You're positioning your well in that place where the outpouring happens. Not just for you. Don't stop thinking about it being just for your life and your generation. It's got generational blessing all over it. It's got generational blessing for you and those that come after you. Years later, Isaac, Jacob's son, visited Beersheba, where he worshipped and offered sacrifices to God. And there he had a prophetic encounter with God as well. Visions of the night, the scripture said, where God spoke to him of his destiny and of his future in Israel. I want to show you a little, I think it goes for about 8 minute clip, where a woman from Samaria had a prophetic encounter at the well with Jesus in her day. Can we play that, Jean? Can we show that? And just tissues are available close by. You may or may not need them, I'm not sure. Let's have a look at this. That's Jesus, by the way. I know you wonder what he looked like.
Would you give me a drink? Did you hear me?
That's bad, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come out alone in the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water, if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would. Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water. Hmm?
That's not what I said.
Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
Oh, I see. You're a prophet. You're here to preach at me.
No.
Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn you.
I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who have made it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need God? I've never received anything from God, but I couldn't thank him even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit. And the time is coming and is now here. That it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit and truth. Heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you. And it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him. Because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
And you know these things. Because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait! did.
You forgot your
Foxy, and now you told me everything I ever did.
How good's that? Oh, I'm a mess. Wells are places of encounter. Whoever drinks his water, life. Life for you. And did you notice? Life for her community. Life for her whole city. Fountains were released in her. And it was like a well springing up. And that's the same for you. And that's the same for me today. In our generation, new wells are springing up, wells of life. Oh, I'm sorry. I need a tissue or something. Can someone find me a... Where's that hanky you gave you? Oh, I got one, sorry. You know, sometimes wells, we have wells in our lives that come from past generations, and there have been times when we've experienced the touch of God and the life of God, and then the enemy comes along and he starts to speak untruth or lies or half-truths into our lives. Have you ever heard the whisper of his voice that says, oh no, you're not good enough. I saw what you did. I watched that. You will never be what you think God's saying to you. You can't. You won't. They block up your wells. They block up your wells with all sorts of rubbish. They throw stones in that well that you had that was connected to God. You're not good enough. You're not holy enough. You did this and you failed at that. But listen, this is the Holy Spirit talking to you. Just because the well is stopped up doesn't mean the water doesn't exist. A supply of the water of God continues to exist. We've just got to dig for it again. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today about redigging the wells. Let him speak to you. Even as I'm talking to you this morning, you might find that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, see that little area there where you, that's a blockage in your well. Just deal with that today. And let him touch that and let him open that back up. I think God is speaking to us in various ways about redigging the wells of salvation in our lives. Where the water of the Spirit once flowed, let it flow again. That where this power once gushed in your life, when you first got saved and you were in that honeymoon period and it was wonderful and amazing, that still exists. We just let other stuff crowd in around it. You know, when we just start to declare the river of God, and we just start to declare there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and we start to reach into that. You remember those sermons I did on the angel and the angel army? That's where they get involved. They can see, they respond to the word of God. They react and do what the bidding of the word of God. Ministering spirits sent by God for the heirs of salvation. That's what they're about. And they're even here this morning to do exactly that, to minister to your heart. I prayed as I came in this morning. I was here early, and I just began to, in my sanctified imagination. All right? Now, you can write this off as Paul's imagination if you want to, but I think this got some credit to it. Hear me out. Maybe even start to see it with me. I began to see that there were angelic beings waiting. Not that they were locked up in the room waiting for you to come. Get that idea out of your head. We don't lock them up in the building when we leave every Sunday. They go with us. They're ministering spirits sent by God for the heirs. And the heirs go out and do the heirs' thing. So they're not locked in here waiting for us to come back. But when I began to pray this morning, and I imagined in my spiritual imagination that the angels were here and they were just ready to pray. And I began to pray over each entranceway, God, as everyone, each one comes in this morning, let it, the blessing of God come on them. Let the blessing of God come on them. And I began to see like a bucket brigade of angels with buckets of anointing, so that when every one of you came in, there's a tipping out of an anointing on your life as you come in the door. I know it sounds odd. I know it sounds crazy, but listen up. It could be God. And the anointing of God began to fall. I said, God, I'd love to see this with my natural eyes. I'm okay with the eyes of the Spirit. I can see that, you know, with the eyes of the Spirit. But one day I'm believing God open the eyes of my heart that I might see it with my natural eyes. But right now I'm seeing it in the eyes of my Spirit, in my sanctified imagination. And I began to see the things of God. I began to see the angels ready to minister. I began to see, take this with a grain of salt. I can't prove it, all right? Up the back corner there was a guy sitting at a desk. He was the administration angel. He was getting every stuff ready, making sure, you know, directing the traffic, if you like. You know, ready for the worship and ready for... And then there was an angel. I'm going to call him Clipboard Angel. He got around with a to-do list with clip, like, you know, yes, do this, do that, get the atmosphere ready, get worship ready, get anointing ready, get healing ready. And he had a clipboard of things to do. I'm going to call him Clipboard Angel. All right? And over there, where the prayer book is, you know where you keep the prayer book over there? That's First Aid Station Angel. And First Aid Station Angel and his group of people, whatever they are, they're getting ready to anoint, and they're getting ready to heal, and they're getting ready to stitch up, and they're getting ready to bring the balm of healing to people as they walk in. And sometimes we come into a church service like this, and some of us don't need a lot of healing today. But sometimes we come in and we've got, you know, old scars that really hurt and ache. We've got scars that are partially open and still festering and stuff that's still going on in our world and it still hurts and it's still a pain and it's still got poison in it and we've still got barbs in us from a previous attack or whatever it might look like in your life. And I don't know what it looks like, but there's these things that get on our world and they get on our lives and they hook us and they damage us, and it's like the barb had a poison toxin on it and it gets in and it's really hard to get out, and it takes a long time, and the angel, you know, those angels are there to just come and minister into, and they may even be doing it as I speak to you right now. Just let them, you know, just say, see it with me if you can. And just say, God, I need that. And God may just remind you of something that hurts right now. Some offense that you've got, or some place where someone really stabbed you with you know, and am I making any sense at all? Are you getting anything out of this? That there's this, the ministering spirit sent by God for the heirs of salvation, and that's us. Now, I can't prove any of that. I just imagine it, all right, in my sanctified imagination. But maybe if you could see it with me by faith, maybe you'd just receive something fresh. Wells represent the moving of the Holy Spirit. Wells represent God touching our lives. In fact, Jesus, or God, calls himself springs of living water. That's what he calls himself in Deuteronomy or Jeremiah. And a well that is tapped into an underground spring, that represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the river of life that God brings. And the Greek word for well also can be translated fountain. Now, a fountain is not just something that trickles. A fountain is something that bursts up out of the ground. A fountain is something like a spring-fed well. And you may have even seen spring-fed dams or spring-fed, you know, little places. And I know when Jane and I were in the Northern Territory a few years ago, and there's underground water that comes out at a really nice temperature, and you can bathe in it, and it's a river. You jump in the river and float down the river, and it's wonderful. So this, and the amount of water is the bit that's it's amazing. It's like a river of underground water coming to the surface and then going back down again. What an amazing thing. There is a river whose city makes, you know, whose river, whose water makes glad the heart of God, the heart of man. Wells are places of divine appointments, or they can be, just like that woman at the well we just saw, where God takes hold of us, exposes the stuff in our lives and says, there's an answer. I have an answer for you. I have an answer for you. Here it is. Not only does God supply the resources that you need, he's a God of relationship. I came here just for you today. Can you imagine that? The Holy Spirit came here just for you today. Isn't that wonderful? And we invite God to co-labor with us. Now, no one said digging a well was easy. No one has ever said there's not a bit of a labor involved in digging a well. There is. Sometimes you just got to labor at the whole process. How do you dig a well? How do you make that happen? Well, let me give you some tips. Go to that next slide if you can, Gene. How do you dig a well? You make room. You make room for the move of God. You begin to imagine the move of God. You make room for it in your head and in your spiritual heart. Make room for it by saying, and listen. And I want to say, probably digging the well is prayer. It's pushing in prayer. That's how you dig a well. But, you know, not scattered prayer. I want to challenge you to focus your prayer. I mean, you can pray around the world and back. And some of us do in the night hours when you wake up and can't get back to sleep. Hello, anybody? Amen. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're still awake at 3. And all right, you can pray around the world and back. But I want to ask you and I want to challenge you to focus your prayer. Focus on something or somebody that's really on your heart and start to pray into that and push into that. And look, there will be times when you think, this isn't working, I can't see it working, I don't know that it will work ever. But push in. Have some resilience about you, about that. Concentrate your prayer, not on everything, but on one or two things that God's put on your heart. And push into those things as a starting point at the very least. Concentrate your prayers and your efforts for the breakthrough that you know God wants to bring into that person that, you know, maybe it's your crabby old next door neighbour, that unsaved heathen or whatever he looks like. I don't know. I don't know who lives next door to you, but probably just as well. But pray specifically. And it may almost seem like an impossibility. Well, yeah, God's into those. He's really into those. Could be your home, could be your family, could be one of your grandkids. Whatever it is, concentrate on it. Pray into it. Dig the well. You know, push into it. And let God. And prepare. Be prepared to spend time and effort and labour in that prayer. But breaking ground has to begin somewhere. It has to be, you know, somewhere it's got to be measurable for you so that you'll keep on with it. And sometimes we've got to dig deep to locate the water. He is living water. And he is flowing. It's just a matter of pushing into it to get a hold of it. Persevere. Keep on digging. And lastly, but not, and probably most importantly, don't just focus on the dirt. When you're digging a well, it's hard work. It really is. And the dirt means, you know, the stuff that, let's just say it's one of your grandkids and they're acting out and they're mucking up and they're wandering off somewhere and ask me how I know that, you know. And to your natural eyes, it just looks hopeless. It just looks like it, like they are so far away from where they should be, and you know they should be. But you've just got to keep ploughing at it. And don't look at the dirt. Know there's a river underneath it. Look at the water. Yes, the dirt's there, but look at the water and know that that's the prize and that's the goal, and push into that. And it might take years. It might take years. My dear old mum never saw me saved. I mean, she got on her face and prayed for it for years. But the catalyst for me coming to know Jesus as my Lord and Saviour all those years ago was her passing and me recognising that I have a mortality about me and I need to do something about this slipshod faith that I had, my weekend obligation to Catholicism. That became the catalyst. Her death became the catalyst for me to get saved and go on. She never saw it, but she prayed for it with power and with anointing and with perseverance. Can I challenge you this morning? There is a river whose city, you know, who I'll get it right one time. Whatever it is. But reach into that river of God this morning. Would you stand with me? I don't know where you're at this morning. But the angels just came to attention. And they're ready to minister to you in all these different sorts of ways. And if you're here this morning and you need, maybe you need something that's a fresh touch of God, or you maybe need to give something up. Maybe you need to let go. Maybe you need to yield. When we were worshipping this morning, I had this little insight. Worship is about the heart, isn't it? It's not about how well you sing. For most of us, that's probably a blessing. It's no accident that the dog cries every time you sing at home. I mean, it's just sorry, shut up, Paul. That's stupid. It's true. It's not about what your voice sounds like. It's about your heart. Worship's about your heart before God. And here's the little insight I had. It's not that God doesn't see your heart the whole time. He does. But in worship, when you yield, you're letting him see it. Do you understand that? It's not that he can't see it, but he respects your will. And you let him see it. And that's a different point. That's a different thing. When you say, here I am. And this morning, as I close this message, would you just say with me, God, here I am. You know what I'm like. You know, just be honest with him about where you're at. If you want prayer this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've seen that little clip of the woman at the well and there's a heap of history behind you, that you think you're unworthy, that's not true. That is not true. You, in the natural sense, you are, we all are actually, unworthy. But in the spiritual sense, God has come for you. He's come so that you can have living water here today. Today, this 28th day of November 2021, you can have living water flowing within you in no time at all. Father, today, in Jesus' name, would you minister by your Holy Spirit and with your ministering angels into this congregation for this time, for these hearts, open before you this morning. And I commit it to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.